Hey everyone, throughout this episode, we discuss slavery and the trauma effects of slavery. Please be advised. You're listening to Spirit Bound. I remember growing up in two Black churches and always questioning and getting a response, "It's because I told you so." As I continue having open and candid conversations about what it was like for me growing up in a religious household, I quickly realized several people had a similar experience as I have. So I cannot wait to introduce Jessica Moss, who surprisingly went to one of those churches and we shared similar situations in our past that has influenced our journey today. Jessica is a mother of two young kings and runs her own spiritual healing business with natural sugar scrubs included. Through her trials and tribulations with her religious faith, she has found her own path. We open this segment by me reading the King James Version of Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these."
Any verse in the Bible or chapter or, you know, character, it always gets taken out of context. From what I knew then and now is two different things, right? Love God as love yourself and love others, that has been taken out of context too, because, people in the church, they love who they love, right? If you are, outside, don't believe in God or Jesus, you don't go to church, they don't love you. You are banned. You don't wear what they want you to wear. You're banned. If you like the same sex, you're banned. If you don't shout, you know what I'm saying? So it really contradicts what they say that they're abiding by, by going with the Bible, but they're not really doing that. And
as I got older and my relationship with God changed and me going to church didn't really do anything for me. I was just telling my sons this, that the last time that we really went to church, it really bothered me because I was going for prayer and I was saying how God forgot me and the lady forgot my name. So not to get off, into anything else, but it just showed you, like, first of all, these people are human just like you, and no God church defines how they can look at you and tell you what you should or should not be doing. We all have a path that, it's predestined. If you go, more into scripture about Jeremiah and how he, God knew you before he formed in a womb, then you would know that I'm different. And I go up to people who accept me for who I am. Now, there are lifestyles that people live that I don't agree with, but it's not my life. That's not my place to put them in a heaven or a hell. And we ain't gonna start about that. But, it's one of those things, like, why do you abide by something that you don't really, It's contradicting and really, hypocrisy, like we're saying, like, it does not make sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially with me growing up, I went to two churches. I went to Antioch and mm-hmm. then I went to CWFF.
Oh, totally different.
Yeah. So now everyone that's listening, just know that one church is a Baptist church and one mm-hmm. is non-denominational. Yeah. And both churches have their own rules and traditions. And mm-hmm. I witnessed both traditions, both hands of how it's an image. And you have to keep up with that image. And even as a little girl, I remember having to dress in these irritating dresses with these little silky ruffle socks and with the typical barrettes and having to participate in
Bible study, in the choir, in vacation Bible school. And, you know, it was really ingrained.
Since you're bringing that up about being baptized, it was pretty much forced for me. I was like 12 when I finally did go up there. And the reason I never wanted to go up there was because I had stage fright. Like, I was really shy. I didn't like being around a lot of people. So I was forced pretty much to, and that's something that you never supposed to do. You never supposed to force anything upon, especially a child, you know, and that was really forcing kids to, you know, accept Jesus. You don't do that. You don't pressure someone to believe what you believe because there's a time limit. There's never a time limit on anything because the relationship starts within. It doesn't matter if you never got baptized. That does not mean that God is not blessing you. That does not mean you don't have a relationship. That don't mean nothing. But that image, that's what made me think about that, like, because that's the image. Trying to keep up to say how many members we got coming back to, accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and blah, 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 you know, just to say that people are doing it. And then when they do something bad, we condemn them because they sin. But we all sin and come short of the glory. You see what I'm saying? Like, you say all these scriptures and then you turn around and do the opposite. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. It never had. Another thing that you had, you know, that brought up something else about the clothing. I remember one time we were watching a movie about how we shouldn't be wearing name brands because it's a sin. Everything is a name brand. What are you saying? So that further let me know, yeah, something isn't adding up. And then the other video was about the music, but the clothing thing threw me for a loop because even the off brands are a brand. So you want us to walk around naked? I mean, we should be, you know, but we don't live in that time right now. So it just amazed me at like so much condemning about a lifestyle that none of us are truly 100% living. There's no way.
So, like, you know, I remember at CWFF, we would have like cookouts or like fish potlucks that, like, you know, Black churches would do. And we would have to drink certain types of juice or couldn't have, like, I believe it's grape soda. You know, it was actually certain foods that we couldn't eat. And this brought me back because I was talking to a family member of mine. They were like, non-denominational was pretty strict. It's kind of lax now. But, like, you don't remember this as you were a little girl and, you know, and I'm like, oh, I remember that. And it was very, very strict. Now it has changed to more liberal, and I'll put that in quotations for a reason. because of who's overseeing the church. But I remember, like, if certain foods and certain drinks couldn't be in the church, we weren't allowed to do that. Even to this day, like, they still do that a little bit. It's still instilled. And, you know, it's crazy. And, like, you can't find, like, this type of juice or this type of drink or any type of flavor anywhere. And even the foods that we eat, you know, it's like, this is what you should be eating. So this is also about the image as well. And then I remember going back to the Baptist side of things. You know, I went to the school that's attached to the church as well. And how active and involved I was. But everything, you know, we would be seeing the Christian flag allegiance at the church, and me moving away, like, out of the country, and I'm sharing my story and my experience with religion and faith, everyone looking at me like I'm crazy, because it's like, why is it so strict? Why is it so about the image and about this idea of being perfect? Because if we go back to this Bible verse saying, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, yourself not is not perfect. We're not perfect. We've never been perfect. So why are we trying to be perfect? I understand and can respect being the best version of yourself because that requires growth. But I don't agree with being perfect because, like, that's just a potential that we can't reach. But I do believe in growth.
It's a setup for failure, right? so people can look at you funny because you did something wrong. When in reality, now that we're older, we know these things. Like, no, I would rather make mistakes so that I know what to do and not to do. I would say that I was one of those people that I'm a perfectionist, and it took me to have a job that I couldn't be perfect to, you know, a boss to tell me like, hey, it's okay, I'm not going to beat you up. But that's the conditioning. I was 26 or 27, finally breaking that curse. And it's not, it's a big role to uphold, and it leaves you feeling, you know, you look down on yourself. You are too hard on yourself, when in reality, you just let it, like you said, let it be free. Like, you're not perfect. And I think, you know, you going to another country, me just, you know, branching off on my own, you start to see like, that is not life. And I do not want no part in, you know, because how are you looking at someone else's life and your life is nowhere near perfect? You've made mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And then add God onto it. God is not a condemner. I'm sorry. I truly don't believe that God is going to condemn you for making a mistake, like punish you. I mean, when you know better, you do better, right? And if you just knowing you're doing something bad, of course, right? There's consequences. But to say that God is not going to love you anymore, God is not going to bless you because you choose, I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that. God did not make you the ruler over someone else's life. I mean, yeah, no, I don't think so. We guide people. Like, I'm a parent, I'm guiding my kids. They're not my slaves.
Because, you know, it goes into this mindset of no questions yes. asked. And I was a child that always questioned. And I would be like, it's just because yes. I said so. Or it's because this is what God tells you to do. And that was the answer.
But where did God say that?
I was like, yeah. Wait a minute. But y'all just told me this Bible verse said this, and I'm just asking, but I'm interpreting yeah. this way. What do you see? And it's mind-boggling, because again, going back to that perfectionist mindset of this image of the church and then the church image, I agree that perfectionism of it all messes with your confidence. It messes because, like, you're so trying to reach this potential, and then they feed into it. I remember, like, going to the church and, you know, I performed something and it was like, oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful, can you do this, can you do that? And then if it was like not to up to their standards, it would be like, you should do better next time, sweetie. And it's like, I'm a kid, yeah. you know? And even when I went to the school, you know, I had to represent the school at this like big meeting. I remember it was like at the town hall in the town that we both mm-hmm. grew up from. And I was like saying all these things, how great the school was. And it was just a whole yeah. speech, you know, and I had to memorize it. And then I walked off the stage and they chose me because they're like, you're like the best speaker and whatnot. And then they wanted to use my story. They wanted to make this heartfelt story about how I couldn't speak when I was young. And then I went to this school and how the school helped yeah. me, which they did help me to speak. And I'm not yeah. denying that.
What is that's bigger than
the
that?
Point of this message. Yeah. And how, you know, that's their like message. That was they're trying to portray. And they used me as the golden child. And I became this golden child for this school, for this church, all throughout my yeah. time there. And the amount of perfection that I had to meet and the amount of the image, I could truly say, like, in the town, I couldn't even explore who Kiara was or do the things that I was going mm-hmm. to do because of the simple fact that it was always having yeah. to be the image. If I wanted to go out and be a normal teenager or be a normal kid and to go to a party, yeah, I better not get caught. I better not be caught because that's not in the image of what I'm yeah. supposed to be. Or if I was supposed to, let's just say maybe I'm in the wrong part mm-hmm. of the town and it looks like, you know, I'm participating in mm-hmm. something negative. And then that moment words and lies spread. Or maybe I'm just simply in a relationship with someone. And I remember when I was with my relationship with my first boyfriend, and automatically as we grew closer and together, they were like, oh, she's going to get pregnant. She's going to do this. She's going to lose all her faith because of the fact that, like, I did, like, you know, he believed in God and he was great. But, you know, when you look at him, you didn't see the faith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't see it. But, like, I knew how he was because he was open about it. He had his faith. He believes in God. He joined the military, for crying out loud. So, you know, he has some type of religious background. And the simple fact that people were just looking at him or just saying, I was going to get pregnant because of how he looked or what who he was, I was just like, man, this is not it.
No.
It's not.
Well, how about being the first teen to get pregnant, and everybody looked at me, and of course because of who my mom is, that image, she was more worried about the image. She wanted me to abort him. What are the people, that was the first thing she said, what are people going to think about me? And I'm like, what? I didn't do it to prove a point. I did it because who are these people? So, and you do get looked upon differently because of who you, you know, who your mama is, who, you know, the image that people put up. And in reality, it's like, this is why it's happening, because you're not being true, right? At the end of the day, I take full responsibility for the things that I've done and that nature, but I was not worried about an image per se, right? I graduated high school. Well, at that time, that was important, but so it wasn't like I was just, no goal, you know, no, but I did not want to live by what everybody else was doing, right? And so some things happened, you know, she completely did not talk to me majority of the pregnancy. People looked at me funny when they did speak. I wouldn't say heartbreaking, but I get what you mean, like the image, right? So time passed, and that little boy was at that school and did one hell of a job. You know, now people have to talk to me with more respect because it wasn't that. I think, and I wouldn't say I think, I know that because people live by this stigma that you have to live like this. And when you don't, it makes them question, is God telling you that? First of all, what he or she, because God is a man or a woman, right? For me, it's a spirit. It's a source. It is not a necessary person. But anyway, my relationship has nothing to do with you. So to keep up this image, to think that's people pleasing, that goes into so many other traumatic traits. And as you get older, you realize that none of that matters. None of it matters. It keeps you bound to being who you're not so called to be. It keeps you bound. People put you at this high standard because they've never been there. So you're going to do it. They're going to live through you. And when you disappoint them, oh, they're going to cut you off. But guess what? I was never designed to be who people wanted me to be. I was designed to be who I was, who I am. And that is to live free. Not willy-nilly, free. I'd move at the own, you know, my own pace. And so keeping up this, and I feel like when the pandemic hit, it's starting to show a lot of different things that people still are clinging on. Jesus is coming back. No, he's not. You know, tithes and offering. You see pastors talking about, I've been lying to you. Oh, we knew that. You've been taking our money while we don't even have a pot to piss in. I mean, something ain't adding up. I'm giving my 10% and you're making me do it maybe two or three times a month, and I'm still struggling at home. That don't add up. God would not want me to suffer to give to someone else. I need to do for me first. That's that people pleasing thing again. I mean, just different things are coming out is what I'm saying. The doctrine or whatever that's been told to us don't make sense. It just doesn't add up. Because at the end of the day, we are the people in that Bible. we are. We're one of the characters, we can relate. But that's it.
Yeah, I feel like the church is a business at the end of the day.
It is.
Because you have these followers, and there's some religious faiths, there's some churches that are way worse yes. than others. There are some people who are in power that should not be in power, but due to God's quote-unquote calling, they're in power. Yeah. And it goes into this hierarchy, because now, when you're talking about a traditional church, you see males taking over. You don't see the women. You don't see the women being the top dogs. You see the males. And you may have a few women to be like, well, we care about women, and, you know, we respect women, and like that speech. But in traditional churches, it's the male, and the male leads the people. And, you know, it's depicted that the males are the leaders and the protectors. And here we are, you know, with all these male figures coming out most of the time, you saying like we lied or we just took your money to like for our own pockets, and or the corruption that they committed inside the church, which an example that I'm going to say is that, and I'm going to say pulpit members and not just blaming on the pastor, and I'm not going to identify which church was this at, but there is a tradition where if a pulpit member is not married to their significant other and they ended up having a child, or they move in with each other and the church finds out, they have to be removed from the pulpit until the marriage is actually complete.
And that doesn't make sense. If your life was not designed to be that, who are we to condemn that? We don't know what the purpose of that was. So to put marriage, to think that that's going to smooth everything out, but marriage does not make everything okay because you have a kid out of wedlock. What? That doesn't mean that life gets better. No.
Well, there's so many pastors and there's so many deacons and other pulpit members, you know, I'm not going to go down the entire list, that has had children out of wedlock, but it's still preaching that you should not have children at wedlock. There's so many church members that says you should not have sex before marriage, but they have had sex before marriage. There's so many people inside the church that says you should give to the poor, but they don't even help out at the Good Samaritan Inn. They don't give to charities. They don't do that. Huh. And it goes back to my personal experience when I first moved here. Now, and I'm not going to call out any church because I'm not trying to get in too much trouble.
But they know what they did. I don't care.
But the reality is, due to me not attending a certain church and not being like a loyal member, they wouldn't support me. They wouldn't support me. It was a few that knew me personally, that knew like how I risen to the grand occasion. And this is like the greatest news ever, that someone from our small town is going across the sea to get an education, not knowing that I would actually live here and make a career out of myself and all of that. Like, you know, it was just like this uni, this whole big thing. But it really just shows that, you know, like if you're not loyal to the church, they don't care about
it's rules and guidelines that you got to go through for a church that I mean, like, who are you? I just want to know, are you God? I mean, seriously, it makes you look at it as that they become your God. They do. And they preach no other gods before me, but you are the God because I have to give to you my all. Got to be loyal. Got to give you my money. Got to be involved in something for you to help me in return. And then when you help me in return, it's really not enough to help me. I don't get it.
I
never understood that.
I completely agree.
I never understood that. Also, when you say that about, you know, helping or whatever, when people have funerals, certain churches don't do the funeral if you're not this, this, and that. I never knew that until I think one of the elders died like so many years ago, not so many years ago, but one of the biggest elders had died. And I was told that and I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. people give put their mm-hmm. life on the line for a church, for an image. I'm going to say the image because that's really what it is, for an image that at the end of the day could care less. Mm-hmm. I want to backtrack a little bit about the women in the church. If you really want to be honest, women are the rulers. I mean, the men are there, but women are the one, the creators. We're the ones who actually get the job done. So for a church to say that women cannot speak, but it is a woman who has the intuition to make things come to life. We are the breeders. We are the co-creators. Men are just there. I mean, they're just there. You know, if it wasn't for a woman, we wouldn't be created. So tell me how the woman is not an important factor, right? Women can hear, you know, like I said about their intuition, but like we hear differently than a man. And that's an ego thing to think that a woman should shut up, right? That's ego. And then what I was saying about the whole marriage thing, I was having a conversation the other day about how, you know, they were so big. Well, being a young child, watching older people talk about how do this so you can find a man. Listen, I'm doing all this and there's no good men. So what does that tell you? Right. I'm doing all this and I get married and he still cheats. I'm doing all this and he's still looking and doing other things outside our home. So you tell me how you're telling God is correlating with me being a better woman to finding a man. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. Or staying in a marriage, knowing you're unhappy because of the image. You can't tell me any different. And I was telling the person I was talking to, like, yeah, you couldn't change my mind about that. You're literally unhappy, but because your family and because of who supports you, you're not going to leave, but you're unhappy. God doesn't ordain divorce. God does not ordain people to mistreat you either. So you pick your poison. You know, that's really a hypocrite to me. First of all, you probably shouldn't got married to begin with, but because of an image, you did. You know, so it's really a lot of self-realization. And that's kind of why I'm more spiritual aspect. Not because to be more free, but because some things just don't add up. And it is a self journey. Yeah. So I think you got to grow up to see things from the outside looking in, because it didn't, none of it makes sense. And you really have to ask yourself, so why am I doing this again? Mm-mm. And you don't have to. You're not going to be punished because you choose to go another route. And I think that's why so many people are held down, like they're ride or die for it, because they're afraid that if I do something else, it creates a different image of me and I will not be in the comfort zone that I've been in for so many years. That's gotta hurt.
We talked about the image and everything, and one of the big topics in the world is about the LGBTQ plus mm-hmm. community. And some members of that community have spoken out and said the church is not mm-hmm. welcoming. And this is when like sparks of these conversations have started. And this, and like a lot of people who are in churches, not just the Black churches, but in churches in general, that's when these conversations started. Like, is the church really meant for what it's mm-hmm. supposed to be? And it really questioned, you know, because now it, like these conversations, like, well, I can't even tell my mom or my dad that I am this or that because mm-hmm. of the church, because of their ideas and ideology. They can't even show a part of them yeah. who they am, because of just being in church. And it's mind-boggling to me, because for me, I am heterosexual, I am straight, but I also never really saw a chance to explore my sexuality mm-hmm. other than yeah. being straight, because I was always told right. that it's a sin be in love with mm-hmm. the same sex, or to explore that world yes. basically. And you know, when people come to the church, it's like they have all this to say, like, you're sinning and all of this. And it's my whole mindset on that is, it's none of my business what another person does, whether yeah. it's sexual, whatever it is. that's none of my business or my prerogative, because at the end of the day, that's between that person and God. That's a conversation between those two people or however many people is involved. And then, but in the same breath, you have some religions, some faiths, some buildings, some structures, whatever you want to refer it to, that also believes in
Wow. Yeah. You didn't touch on it.
So how can we deny one group of people?
Mm-hmm. Not the other.
Some people still practice polygamy in their faith. And it's Dahar and Rahar in those polygamous groups. I'm not going to call it out just yet, but in some polygamous groups, you know, the women are very traumatized. They are seen as subordinate. They are seen as basically to make babies.
Yeah.
And, or are they seen as to just be like the housewife? And now if you look at that, look at the Bible, and if you truly read the Bible, you know, the Bible never really stone and red has said, at least from what I've read, and I could be corrected if I'm wrong, that you have to be married and you have to only have sex during the marriage and be with this person. Never read it. You know, it never said, I never heard that out of the Bible. And a lot of people have said that before the westernization of religions, you know, it was quite common for people to not be bound by marriage. Marriage became a Western thing. It became westernization. Mm-hmm. And people were just there, like, be who they want to be with, feel like their soul ties. It became more of a spiritual aspect. Like, I have this connection with someone. I can't explain this connection, but here we are. So what are your thoughts about that?
I'm glad that you brought the other aspect of poly versus, you know, being in love with the same sex, because that does make you think, like, wait a minute, how is one loved and the other isn't, right? And then you added that it's Western, you know, because it is. And other cultures, they don't care. I mean, you know, like, it's not a big thing. So it makes you have to really sit back and realize, do you want to live the life you want to live, or do you want to live the way someone tells you to live? One isn't better than the other, because some people need to be led and told what to do. But the other side of it is, why would you want someone else to tell you when they're contradicting their own selves? I will say also that one isn't worse than the other because you're poly or whether you know, like the same sex. At the end of the day, it resonates with your heart, right? And there are people in the church who are doing both. We just don't know, right? But if you pay attention and sit back, you will see, right? But it's only okay because of that image. Because if I see a lot of people say, you know, that even in a local community, but like in big churches who are, you know, mega churches, that the stuff that they do is overlooked pretty much because of their following, because of this and that, which is very true, right? But I think it goes back to people just being afraid of going on their own and seeing what works best for them, because they have been told that God is going to condemn them if they do these things. But think about it. We do things every day that goes against the will of God. You do things every day that are not perfect. So to make a big deal if someone is poly or whatever says a lot about you. It says a lot about you. But what's done in the dark comes to the light. And I also truly believe that you pick and choose what scriptures you want to live by and then tell other people that they will be in trouble. But lying is a sin. You know, like, it's so many levels that makes you just, you got to take a step back and say, what am I willing to put up with? You know, because whether you're either or, you're who God created you to be.
Basically, what this boils down to is that taught to be in our truest self to the Lord. Our truest self. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we are in this image that we're forced in a way to be in this image. Some people believe in this image and, you know, they believe it with all of their heart. So they are in their truest form. Others have grown up in this environment and are in a way forced to be in this image and that have the opportunity to ask these questions and whatnot. And then there's other people who are hiding who they truly are, because if they speak up on certain issues, if they say certain things or even speak against the traditions in the church, then they will be condemned. So they are hiding themselves. So are we really living our truest selves? And are we truly loving ourselves? Going back to that verse again, saying, love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. Are we actually doing that? Not just love thy neighbor.
No.
Really, what about ourselves?
Are you loving yourselves?
We're not building our truest potential if we are condemned to, if we're stuck to this image, if we're stuck to this, you know, traditions of like to hate this group, but not this group and this rule and that rule. Like, are we capable of being our true selves in front of the Lord if we're hiding? Because a part of it is we're hiding. A part of it is we're being someone who we're truly not.
You're pretending. Well, you know, after, you know, like I said, doing my own journey, I'll call it, of growing up in the church. Don't get me wrong, it started something in me, but I was not my true self because I always was in the eyes of someone else and what they wanted me to do. Not to say I'm a rebel or I'm just not a conformative. I'm not conformative to doing what everybody wants me to do. And so as I got older, you know, I went back to still going to the church, but I found the church that worked for me at the moment. But I moved around a lot because it just wasn't, I couldn't be my true self, right? I tried to get involved, like, okay, you know, maybe if I get involved and still being looked at differently and still being shunned or, you know, just not feeling important, right? If I'm doing a service to God in the church, I should be respected or, you know, is what I felt. But that's not the case because it's the image. We cannot be our truest selves if we're lying to ourselves when we know we need to speak up about something that doesn't feel right, right? We are lying to ourselves when we cannot tell people the truth about what we feel, and it's going to cause us to be alone. We use the Bible all the time about how Jesus went off into the mountains, but people don't understand that that's how you live your life when you're not like everyone else. Be in this world, but not of it. You quote that so heavy and don't live it. I'm in this world, but I am not of it because I choose to think differently. And I will continue to do that, right? You give yourself a disservice when you're not honest because your soul is calling for you to stop lying. We'll just say lying for now because there's other, you know, there's layers to that. But like, just stop lying. You become a better person when you're true and you're able to speak those things as though they are. You become you're a better, you know, you when you're able to say, hey, this doesn't work for me and be okay with it. I had to be okay with people, well, not okay with it, but like, just seeing people and the first thing that they say, not how I'm doing, but why I don't see you at church. Keeping my distance and not being upset about it because this clearly is what you bank on. This is your life. It's not mine. My relationship is not defined by that. I got tired of explaining myself. And so that's why I took a step back a little bit and then tried it again. But this last time, it was just like they were teaching spirituality in the church, but still trying to go by the and it was non-denominational too, but I feel like and I was starting my journey for spirituality. So it was like, it didn't add up. Like, what are you telling the people? And it just didn't add up, right? You do yourself a disservice by leading people down a rabbit hole. Someone did ask me, so how do you know that your way is the right way, right? I don't know that my way is the right way because, like I said, everybody's path is different, right? But what I do know is I'm more free than I ever been in my entire life. You know why? Because I got to the root of what I feel. I think you had mentioned being in the church, but in a household that says you cannot speak because I told you so. God wouldn't want me to be shut up. You know, God wouldn't want that for me. So, you know, all in all, you cannot be who God called you to be by not living your truth. And your truth is something that is, you know, you're a light. So you're made in his image. I mean, we can go really into the scripture because you don't live by it. you're not quoting it the way that you should. It's more of a condemning scripture rather than enlightening, right? You're not living at your fullest potential by not living in what really makes you you. And you got to separate yourself by going to another country. So that really like broadened your, because you get to see it from another side. These people don't even think like that. So really you traumatized because, you know, they're like, we didn't do that.
Every day when I talk to people about growing up in the church and coming from like this religious background, I get it all the time. People just look at me and be like, what? If they're not from another background themselves where it's very traditional, then, you know, they're looking at me like, oh, so you really did that. And then, you know, when I talk about America as a whole, this is another thing. It's like America pushes Christianity in everything, in politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just going to the store.
Yep.
Even when you go to certain
like hospitals, it's the only religion.
Like in certain hospitals, it's Christian. Even the public ones are Christian, and you can see it. You can see it in the waiting rooms when you're waiting for like the yes or no call by a loved one. It is very heavily on the Catholic. And just going back to a time where religion didn't really have a place. People had points and they believe in a higher power, but religion wasn't powerful. And now that we're into this powerful way of life where, you know, now we have these churches and like, I don't know if you know this, like even within the American government, I don't know about any other governments, but in the American government, something called the family, where there are Catholic family that runs the political game. That is the summary of it.
Yeah, I believe that.
And, you know, and it's like, and then it's talk about this one man being very powerful, and it goes back to this hierarchy and this dominating male power.
And instead of working together, it got to a point where we're opposed of each other because of that. Money, power, respect. I know you didn't mention money, but that's really like what it comes, boils down to. And then we are in a war about who's more powerful, a man or a woman, and why we can't come together. That's why we're in the war we're in now, between male, masculine and feminine, not just men and women. But you get what I'm saying? Like, that has created a division between the two because of that.
Yeah, I agree. And then we go into like move throughout the Bible, then, you know, women are expected to be unionized with men to put this bound together. But it never, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never saw the word marriage in the Bible. And again, I went through religious, I was in a religious household. I went through private schools where we're both religious, was heavy on the Christianity part. And I never saw the words marriage. I saw your soulmate or someone like a partner or like someone who's like a puzzle piece.
Marriage is not even about wedding a ring or any of that. It is joined. The verse kind of says about joining of souls or something like that. You know, don't quote me on it. But when they do the three tie or whatever, you know, you know what I'm talking about. But it never was about that. I think that's another westernized thing, or, you know, culture type of thing. When you're married to someone, you're joined by sex, because that's how you intertwine with, you know, that's my personal opinion. And I truly believe that. You know why? Because, you know, if we really go really deep into it, what is the wedding, or what is marriage, you know, per se, if your souls are not in alignment, you know? And so I don't, you just can't tell me any different. You don't see that in the Bible. So, you know, to push that so heavily on people. And then there were people in the Bible that had kids that were not married. There were people, you know, none of that matters per se about who you are as a person, right? I was supposed to have children out of wedlock with someone, and later down the line, possibly maybe I'd be with someone else. These are lessons in our life. And I ain't gonna try to go too deep into it about astrology and all that, but like, you have a life plan already out for you. So some things are unfortunate, but that those are lessons for you to elevate. And I think we said that at the beginning. Everything happens for a reason. You're not, none of it is to condemn you for choosing that route. Does it come with consequences? Yes, because now I don't have help. You get what I'm saying? But it is for me to figure out the pieces to unlock a part of me to keep going, because there are other things that I have to do in this lifetime, you know? But to put marriage as the icing on the cake, you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, that's not the answer to all problems. People get married and still are not right, you know, have kids, they do all the things and still get divorced. So tell me, how's that, you know, like, it doesn't make sense, you know? And to put that as the push that upon people, I think that's what we lack too in the church, because people don't know who they are. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Well, then if you knew that, you would know that it starts with you first. But you don't know that because someone else is telling you to look and do what I want you to do, mimic how I'm living, or, you know, of that such. And that's kind of where I took the another route, because what? You know, so we got to look past a relationship with others when we don't have a relationship with ourselves. Another thing, adding on to that is waiting to go to church to be prayed for, or thinking that your prayers are not answered because the pastor didn't do it. You have your own relationship. So why are you waiting for someone else to lay hands on you and to heal you? I did that myself. No pastor did anything for me. Yeah, thank you for the prayers, but you probably could have kept it, because my blessings was on hold, because I don't know what you're doing, right? And that goes, you know, kind of into being careful. The spirits of people, just because they have a title, means absolutely nothing.
Yes. So just to wrap up, you know, mm-hmm. is there hypocrisy in the Black church? I think we say yes.
I think a we lot of say it.
Yes. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe in the future, you know, maybe churches would change their ways to be more conscious that a church doesn't need to hold these traditions. A church should be a safe haven for people to preach their faith, to practice whatever faith they have. It's a safe
community.
It's a community. And now we're in this time period where people, you know, are searching for this community. Are they going to find it? I don't know.
It's going to be real hard if you're not open-minded. I'll say that. It's going to be real hard. Now, if you're looking, you'll find it. You will. It's out there. I mean, just like a religion is out there, you know, but if you really want to look deep within, you'll find it. But if you don't, you probably will be so confused because you're not going with what the spirit is telling you. That's another thing. People don't trust their intuition. They're waiting on someone to tell them. But if you believe in God and if you're made in the image, it's already inside of you. Like, all you have to do is pretty much open your eyes. Of course, this is what I've learned and what I live, so.
A special thank you to Jessica Moss for taking a trip down memory lane and being honest about her experience. Even though in this episode we focus on the hypocrisy around the Black church, does not mean that the church doesn't hold any good. Therefore, I cannot wait for you all to meet my next guest, Karis Meyer, author and devoted Christian, as to why she chose her faith even through times of hardship. Thanks for listening to this episode of Spirit Bound. I cannot wait to continue this journey with you all as we dig deeper into spiritual exploration. To stay updated with the latest Spirit Bound episode that will be released next Thursday, or to learn more, please follow at Spirit Bound Podcast on Instagram and Spirit Bound Podcast on Facebook. Spirit Bound is produced and presented by Kiari Page, supported by Transmission Roundhouse,
with special thanks to TR leaders Tom and Marnie, and to all my supporters near and far.